Coming to dinner from the Big 550 KTRS.
Burlington, where you'll save big on thousands of new markdowns right now. At Burlington, save up to 70% off department store prices on looks for your whole family. Burlington, style for everyone.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. Dan and Ian are here with me, already mentally on vacation.
What?
They're a little psyched about leaving. Is it tomorrow or Sunday?
It's Sunday.
Sunday, they go with a whole bunch of listeners. What's the final count on listeners, by the way?
I don't know. What is it about?
Well, it's 90, I think.
Yeah, I think close to 90.
Nice.
And that's all we could get on the plane and in the resort and everything else. Otherwise, I think we'd have had a bigger crowd.
Well, you know,
we could have got more.
I'm sure you guys are depressed because you heard how great our weather is going to be here while you're gone.
Yes.
Monday, apparently, is supposed to be fun during the morning rush hour.
Yeah, wintry mix.
Oh, that's always
Love that.
Fun on a Monday.
You know what they call a wintry mix in Cancun? Margarita.
Yes. Your daiquiri.
Okay.
But we do have to be at the airport at 4 a.m., though. It's not all wine and roses.
Hey, wait a second. Dan's got a gig Saturday night.
I know.
I do.
Till 1?
Till 1 o'clock. We play from 9 till 1.
This is with the Upside Down Band.
At the Southside Johnny Band.
That's what I said.
And we're playing at the Firehouse on Lemay Ferry. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come by, they have really good food. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be partying till 1.
And are you planning on getting any sleep before you go to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I was hoping, but usually it's worse if you get like an hour and go.
That's so
here's the plan.
It's so hard to, you know, because at a certain point you're like, all right, I'm going to stay up. And then about 2:45, your eyes get really tired.
Yeah. But you know what? Maybe I'll just sleep for a half hour. You could have slept for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
And I have the hardest time sleeping on a plane.
Oh, no.
Until we descend. And when we start descending and we're about a half hour out, then I start getting really tired. It's like, oh, come on.
Like the altitude change is rocking you to sleep.
But usually if it's an early morning flight, everybody else on the plane wants to sleep too.
Yeah.
But
Not really on these trips. Everybody's so amped, I think. I don't see a lot of people sleep normally because we've had these early ones before.
Yeah.
I know I couldn't sleep.
I have the hardest time sleeping on a plane, but if I do fall asleep, I know my daughter's going to be nudging me going, Dad, you're snoring. Stop it. You're snoring.
I don't think she'll be the only one.
I have those strips I brought.
Breathe rights?
Yeah, those breathe rights I brought to try and curb the snoring.
Yeah, my wife and I tried those. They did not.
They don't work?
No.
Yeah, I think I did for a while, too.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Hell the heck with that.
Nice waste of money there, Dan.
So here's my plan.
Yeah.
After we play at the Firehouse on Lemay Ferry.
Nice.
Saturday night.
All right, fine.
From 9 till 1.
We got it.
I'll tear down and I will load the stuff in my car. And since my daughter and Debbie, her mother, live pretty close to the Firehouse and my daughter's going with me, I'm taking all my equipment over there, loading it into the basement, and I'm going to stay there for like an hour, because by the time I get over there, it's going to be quarter to two.
Right.
Two.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to leave there because it's in South County off Telegraph. So we're going to have to leave there about 3 to 3:15 to get here so we can catch a Laclede cab.
Yes.
And head to the airport.
Wow.
Be there by 4 o'clock.
Wow.
So,
and then
that's my plan.
And then what sucks is, you know, a few hours later, you're in the sunshine and...
Oh.
Yeah, like...
All you can eat, all you can drink.
Yeah.
All inclusive.
Pulling right about on lunch.
And when we, when we arrive, when we finally arrive there, it'll be early enough to where our rooms probably won't be ready right then. So
you can go eat. Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's not all great here. Listen to all these speed bumps that we get across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to play.
You know what would be a sad story? Here's what would be a sad story. And that night, the resort lost power and we had to come home.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's anything short of that, stop the whining.
Yeah.
We'll all be freezing our butts off here in St. Louis.
I'm not whining at all. Okay. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Oh, good. I'll be here filling in for everybody. And
I know that. That'll be great.
Actually, I'm not going to be here Monday.
It's a tag team affair.
Oh, that's right. Right. John Carney's coming in, isn't it? Thank you.
Yes, he'll.
Is he doing 6 straight hours?
No. I doubt it very much. I haven't heard him do 3 straight hours yet.
Oh, hey.
So I'll be here Tuesday.
I hate you as well.
I'll be here Tuesday through Friday next week and the following week, because after you guys get back from Cancun, Frank will be on that Monday with you guys, and then he's having eye surgery on that Tuesday morning.
That's
and,
right.
You know, can't let a blind man do a radio show. How would he hear it?
No,
I do. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, wait. No, wait a minute.
How does that work?
You have me.
Forget that old saying. Yeah, Dan's here, practically blind, so... I've got a couple of, you know, I'll be the one who's whining in a couple of weeks. 2 4-day work weeks of 3 hours a day.
Yeah, how does Frank do it?
Yeah, Frank has some serious issues going on with his eyes, and I don't think, I mean, they're going to have to put 3 holes.
Paul can't hear it.
I am incredibly sensitive about eyes.
I am too.
Okay, well then don't talk about
it. Okay, I won't.
I can't even watch somebody put in contact lenses.
Oh, I can't either.
I
can't do that.
Okay, change the subject now.
I was just saying.
The hair on the back of my neck is standing up right now.
I was just saying, my eye issues, which are
genetic
and not much they can do at this point, are pale to what Frank's going through right now, because
there's a lot of pain involved with his. Yours don't really hurt you.
No,
just you're not being able to see.
I mean, they hurt anyone that rides with me in the car.
All right. Well, so that's the schedule for the next couple of weeks. Now, on today's show, I saw a story a couple of days ago about a guy who runs a store in London, England, who was. He supposedly had his money stolen from him in the store while he was working there that day by a guy who came in and supposedly hypnotized him. I'm putting that in air quotes. Hypnotized him and stole his money. And I call BS on that. But I also called up a guy who's investigated this sort of stuff. He's investigated paranormal claims and hypnosis claims and all that sort of stuff. And he's agreed to come on the show in about 15 or 20 minutes and talk about this. Because, you know, there are these stage acts, magicians / magician comedians who have shows that they do here in St. Louis and all over the country and in Vegas.
And, bring people up on stage.
Yeah, and, you know.
Have them bark like a dog.
Exactly.
Have them act like a chicken.
Exactly. So I want to know if I don't believe any of that is real.
I
don't either.
And I don't believe I could ever be. What happened?
Yeah.
If I'd only worn the breathe right, I couldn't have been hypnotized. Kids, that's what we call a callback. Write that in your comedy lesson number 17. So he'll be on with us in a little while. Then later on, we're going to talk about the Rams stadium deal. They had this press conference about 3 hours ago where they announced the plan to build a new stadium to try to keep the Rams here. And we'll get into those details a little bit later on. And Jim Huer, KTRS sportsman extraordinaire, will join us to talk about that. Also, we've got the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News and Bill Cleveland and Mike Evans and Tim Weiland will check traffic. So that's all coming up. One of the first things I want to talk about here today, it's hard to say that 10 minutes into the show, but I want to talk about this story that's been going on in Paris for the last couple of days. After this horrible terrorist attack against this satirical newspaper there, Charlie Hebdo. That's the name of it. Abdo means weekly. Charlie Weekly was this magazine, which had been printing cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. And there are some fundamentalist Muslims for whom that is the death penalty. And in doing that, if you do that, you deserve to die. It's essentially the same kind of thinking that led to a fatwa being issued against Salman Rushdie when he wrote a book that didn't have any cartoons in it called The Satanic Verses. It's essentially people trying to censor ideas because of their extremist religious views. Not unknown in this country. We've had people who do that, but not to the murderous extent that that this group did and others have as well. I guess the Ku Klux Klan might fit into that category, you know, the burning cross and all that, perverting religious beliefs into hatred and murder. I guess you could make that analogy. But we now know that they've got the brothers. They ended this three-day terror spree over there, killing the two Al-Qaeda-linked brothers who staged that rampage at the Charlie Hebdo offices a couple of days ago. And now the Al-Qaeda group in Yemen is saying that they directed the Paris attack and that they're following out, what do they say? The attack was in line with warnings from the late Osama bin Laden to the West about the consequences of the persistence and the blasphemy against Muslim sanctities. In other words, you made fun of the Prophet Muhammad. And I mean, it's horrible, and people are dead, and a lot of people are afraid. But here's the part of the story that I want to talk about a little bit, and that is this argument that I've been seeing online in the Twitter sphere and in a lot of blogs and in a lot of mainstream news organizations as well about whether they should also publish the cartoons, these depictions of the Prophet Muhammad that pissed off this group so much that they decided to take revenge by murdering the cartoonist responsible and the other people there. There is a guy at the Daily Beast named Noah Shackman who says not publishing the images gives in to the monsters that just massacred a bunch of people. There's another one who called out the head of CNN, Jeff Zucker, Jeff Zucker said, journalistically, every bone says we want to use and should use the cartoons, but as managers, protecting and taking care of the safety of our employees around the world is more important right now. And Eric Wemple, the guy who wrote about this in the Washington Post, said, well, CNN sends people into dangerous situations all the time, and the people sitting in their offices in Paris right now are probably at risk, and whether you show these or not, these are the part of the calculated risks of being in the news business to bring the truth to the public. And in doing that, this is a calculation that he says CNN misfired on. And there are other people who are saying, you know, all those people who are using the hashtag Je suis Charlie. Oh, like we're with I am Charlie is what that means in French. I'm with them. And hashtag activism is such a weird thing. Remember a couple of years ago, the whole Kony 2012? Was
sure.
It 2012 or 2010? I can't remember. It was a few years ago because of this.
2012.
Kony, K-O-N-Y 2012, which a lot of people thought was, you know, a political candidate or somebody who was running for president or whatever it was. Of course, I've been in this business too long. I see K-O-N-Y, and I go, oh, call letters.
Yeah,
yes. I thought it was a radio station. Doy. But people put that hashtag on a lot of things that they were using on Twitter and writing about it on Facebook as well to make a statement, if you will, about this tyrant in Africa who is killing people, et cetera, and taking young boys and forcing them to go into the military. Did that change anything, using those hashtags?
No.
Does using the hashtag Je suis Charlie, is that going to change anything? I mean, it makes people feel good, like the ice bucket challenge that we went through last summer all over the country, which lasted for about 2 weeks, and now nobody talks about at all. These are just fads that, particularly through social media, get picked up and somebody grabs the ball and runs with it, and then their friends see it, and then the media publicizes it, and it gets going. And in a week, nobody will be using the hashtag Je suis Charlie. It'll be over. But as for these claims that mainstream organizations should be showing the cartoons. Many have not. A few new media, online media websites have. And I may be in the minority about this, but I make my living thanks to the First Amendment. I mean, the ability to have free speech allows us to do whatever we want to do on the radio. Management that allows us to do that as well. Within the bounds of FCC regulations, of course. But we live in a country where if I wanted to espouse an opinion about whatever it is, something stupid or something important, something about politicians, something about people in movies, whatever it may be, a light bulb, whatever I want, I can express my opinion about that. And I love that. And it's one of the things that makes America great, our ability to have the freedom of speech that we can all use each and every day in pretty much any way we want. I'm not willing to die for it. And there have been times when I have purposely held back in talking about members of my family because a long time ago there was a threat made against a member of my family. I'm not going to go into all the details about it. And it sent a shiver down my spine. And I just decided, you know, I could be the guy who's on the front lines of the First Amendment. And free speech is, we have to stand up and fight for free speech.
An advocate, yes.
Yeah. Right up until the point where somebody puts a gun to your head. And now there are people in this country and in this world who would still continue to do whatever they wanted to do and say whatever they wanted to do and damn the consequences, even if it includes death. I'm not one of those people. I have a wife. I have a daughter. I have a life I want to live. There are plenty of things that I can talk about. There are plenty of things that I can say. And if I owned a newspaper, well, not even a newspaper, I have a website of my own. I'm not going to put cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad on my website because I know that there are maniacs in the world who, because you do that, will come and kill you. That what we saw in Paris this week was proof. Now, I will tell you that I've talked about many things on the radio in the last 35 years that have been controversial to some people. Not that I court controversy, but anytime you say anything at all, there's somebody who's offended. It doesn't matter. What we were talking about a little while ago about going to Cancun and the weather and all that sort of, somebody who was listening was offended and turned off the radio. Ah, damn it, ah. The internet is the place that has allowed people to express their vitriolic reaction to all sorts of things all the time. I turned off the comments on my own website just because I got sick of the hate speech that was being targeted at me for like a movie review. It just gets out of control. I mean, you could see it on any social website. You could probably see it on your own Facebook page. People who you thought you knew who are, quote, friends of yours on Facebook, all of a sudden they lash out at you because you don't like green chilies. What? Well, imagine if that kind of vitriol was ramped up to the point where instead of just writing something nasty to you or to a public figure or to a TV star, movie star, columnist, whoever it may be, if instead of writing something mean, they came and killed you because of it, it might cause you to stop doing that thing or to not do that thing in the first place. Now, is that acquiescing? Is that giving in? Absolutely. I admit it 100%. I'm letting the terrorists win. On that front, I got lots of other fronts. I got a million things I can talk about all the time. I got a million pictures I can put on my website anytime I want. Lots of things I can comment on. But if I found out that there was a group of people or a person who had a reputation for killing other people who had done that, call me a chicken if you want. I'm going to be alive tomorrow because I'm going to stop doing that. And I don't need another threat against a member of my family or anybody else, for that matter. So for those people who are talking about how websites and newspapers and magazines that won't publish these cartoons are doing something cowardly or not standing up for freedom of the press and freedom of speech, etc., I seriously think you're crazy. There are lots of things that you would lay your life down for. I would lay down my life to protect my wife and daughter. Not willing to lay down my life for a cartoon. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We'll talk about this hypnosis by theft story on the Big 550 KTRS.
And we're going to check traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Hey, Dan, I got a question to ask you.
Yes, sir.
How does it feel to be playing in a band that no one really knows the name? You get called the Outhouses, the Outhouse
Johnny. It's the Upside Down Band. What's wrong with you?
The Upside Down Band.
The Southside Johnny Band. Actually, it works out pretty well because we were out somewhere and somebody saw it. That's AM and the PM, and they saw our banner, and it says the Southside Johnny Band, and they said, that's the band that Frank screws the name up all the time and Paul screws the name up all the time.
Yeah.
Then I hear Paul go the Upside Down Band. Yeah. It's like, okay, nobody gets it right.
I know.
Well,
I know.
That's pretty good, though.
I have to correct them, though, so it gets the name out, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that is good.
It's marketing.
You know what? Then people go inside and they hear Dan singing Sweet Home Mississippi, and it all sounds good.
Sweet Home Mississippi.
Yeah. Oh, I changed the words a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Hey, we're looking a little heavy on westbound 40 now. It's from about Hampton through McCausland, usual spot there. We're picking up a little volume on westbound 40, also midway between 270 and Mason. On eastbound 270, things are just picking up now between Lindbergh and Highway 170 in downtown. Still a pretty good run to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by Sam's Club. For a limited time, Sam's Club members get more than $3,000 in instant savings on brands like Tyson, Pepsi, Hefty Supreme Paper Plates, and DiGiorno's Pizza. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Why don't you talk into the microphone?
It only takes a second.
I mean, how often do you get a chance like this?
To get instant updates on scores, guests, news, events, and more, follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
And is our audience going to love it?
But with 1.6 million accidents a year due to distracted driving, it may not be a good idea to do it behind the wheel.
I'm telling you, no animals were actually hurt making this promo.
Go to KTRS.com and join the conversation.
It all seems to be part of some sort of crazy pattern.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
What if I told you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or pre-diabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this. It's all over the internet. 88diabetes.com. People who have followed this plan at 88diabetes.com reportedly have not only normalized their blood sugar, but have stopped taking their diabetes meds completely with their doctor's approval. 88diabetes.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. 88diabetes.com will save you from being a slave to doctor-prescribed drugs. It's easy. 88diabetes.com gives you three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient and solution is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself at 88diabetes.com. Watch for free at 88diabetes.com. Get back the quality of your life and free yourself from diabetes medications. Go to 88diabetes.com.
Playing guitar in a rock band was the best time of my life, but like a dummy, I didn't wear earplugs. So I got this ringing in my ears called tinnitus. It screwed up my focus, my creative edge. I had trouble sleeping, and I had to keep asking people, "What? What'd you say?" It was awful until I discovered Ring Away.
Ring Away is the new fast-acting breakthrough designed with doctor-recommended ingredients to relieve constant ringing or buzzing. And right now, they're letting the public try it for free. Just call 1-800-400-3159 now while supplies last. The only product of its kind, Ring Away is so powerful, it doesn't just relieve the ringing or buzzing. It actually supports ear health, too, so you can work and sleep in peace.
Ring Away is amazing. I just wish I tried it sooner.
If you want the ringing to go away, call now to try Ring Away for free. But hurry, this is an exclusive radio-only offer. Call now for details. 1-800-400-3159. That's 1-800-400-3159. 1-800-400-3159.
If you use a CPAP device for sleep apnea and you do all your sleeping at home, this message is not for you. However, if you like to travel for business or pleasure, you're going to want to hear about Transcend, the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It lets you sleep in total comfort anywhere. And free information is available now by calling minicpap.com at 1-800-600-7175. Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant, too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. This is our smallest, lightest, and most portable mini CPAP design ever. So if you travel, get the freedom to sleep anywhere you go. Call now for life-changing free information from minicpap.com. 1-800-600-7175. That's 1-800-600-7175.
Midwest Floor has just purchased a truckload of hardwood flooring to give you these great New Year's savings. Hello, I'm Brian McGee, President and CEO of Midwest Floor. If you ever wanted to make a fashion statement in your home, now is the time. And here's a great suggestion. Beautiful 5-inch wide American-made hand-scraped hickory hardwood flooring on sale now for only $389 a square foot. That's right. You can have one of the most durable hardwood floors made. In fact, hickory is 40% harder than oak. American-made hand-scraped hickory for only $389 a square foot. Let me repeat, for only $389 a square foot. It's the latest in flooring fashion. And with your choice of 10 pre-finished colors, you can't go wrong. So hurry into one of our two stores and take advantage of this truckload offer. That's Midwest Floor in Brentwood and Chesterfield, or online at MidwestFloor.com. Quality since 1939.
Want your home to make a statement? Update your home with lighting from Metro Lighting. Their certified lighting specialists are trained to work with you, your builder, or your designer, so you can discover the perfect lighting for your space. For over 40 years, Metro Lighting has made a commitment of service to their customers and is proud to be a locally owned and operated part of the St. Louis community. And right now, save on LED bulbs with Metro Lighting and Amaranth's Act on Energy program. Visit MetroLightingCenters.com for the location nearest you.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. So I saw this story a couple of days ago out of London about a guy who owns a wine store called Hops and Pops. And he was in the store one day just walking around. There were no customers in there. And then two guys came in. One guy stood by the doorway. And the other guy walked in wearing a black bomber jacket and brushed past this guy, Aziz, who is the owner of the place. And the guy in the bomber jacket gently tapped Aziz on the arm. And a few seconds later, he made a stabbing gesture with his right hand at eye level, and I've seen the surveillance video of this, it left Aziz mesmerized, like he froze. And then the guy in the bomber jacket reaches into Aziz's pants pocket, pulls out his wallet, squeezes his shoulder. Aziz still doesn't move, reaches into the shopkeeper's other pocket, pulls out a large amount of money, and taps him on the shoulder and walks out. And the whole time, this guy, Aziz, he's standing still, rigid still. And then after the guy and I think his accomplice who was in the doorway, once they leave, Aziz kind of snaps out of this trance that he was supposedly in and starts running after him. Hey, excuse me. They didn't get the guy. But this is being called hypnosis theft. That he went in there and hypnotized the owner and did this. And as soon as I saw this story 2 days ago, I called BS on it. Because I don't believe that you can actually hypnotize anybody. Certainly in a situation like that, I don't believe that I could ever be hypnotized. And I don't believe the stories of people who have gone to entertainment shows and seen some celebrity hypnotist or whoever up on stage hypnotizing audience members to cluck like chickens and tell stories about when they were little kids. You know, you probably have seen video of this sort of stuff. I don't believe any of that is real. And so I called up a guy I know who is a paranormal investigator and is deputy editor of the Skeptical Inquirer magazine. His name is Ben Radford. And I said, Ben, come on the show and explain this or tell me I'm crazy if I am. And here he is. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you.
You've heard of this hypnosis by theft story, right? Or theft by hypnosis story.
I have. In fact, I'd seen a little bit about the story before you showed it to me, and then you showed me the link, and I looked at it much more closely. And I'd actually written for Discovery News about one or two other instances in which people have claimed, I should add dubious instances, in which people have claimed that they were hypnotized into docility and handing over their belongings.
Inside job, you think?
You know, I got to tell you, you know, it's interesting looking at this. You know, as you pointed out, it's been widely touted as the hypnotist thief. And you know, I'm there's some real red flags here. I'm not clear at all to me that hypnosis was in fact involved. That's the interpretation. And you know, there are a couple things in the video, and I've watched it many times, that sort of, you know, if you're looking for that, you can pull that out. For example, there's the tap on the shoulder, there's the sort of the patter that you know, obviously it's a silent video, so you can't hear what he's saying. But there are some things that you know that might lead you to that. However, there's also many red flags that tell me that there's something else going on here.
All right, what are the red flags?
All right, there's a couple of them. First of all, one of the first ones that jumped out at me was how the thief could know that he happened to have, Mr. Aziz would happen to have the day's receipts in his pockets at the time.
This was the number one thing for me as well. Who owns a store and doesn't keep the money in the cash register?
Yeah, it just, you know, I mean, it, now again, it's possible, but I mean, why would you assume, I mean, let's just assume for a minute that there actually was this hypnotist thief and the whole thing went down as is widely described.
Yeah.
How in the world would these two people, the hypnotist and his accomplice, know that he would happen to have the money, you know, in big bills on his person instead of, you know, with someone else in the register, in the safe? That was a little weird to me.
Yep.
The second thing is that, and in the story, it actually quotes a couple of hypnotists who I think are frankly wrong about it. But one of the things that they do point out, which is true, is that if this was some sort of post-hypnotic suggestion, that is, if somehow the thief had gone in there before to set this up, because, you know, the fact is you can't just go into a store or meet a clerk or someone else, look in the eyes and hypnotize them. It doesn't work that way. The only possible way this could have worked, if it was in fact hypnosis, would be if the hypnotist had previously met Mr. Aziz.
Yep.
And it had implanted essentially a suggestion saying, when I tap you on your shoulder, you'll be motionless and helpless and, you know, direct me to your cash.
Right.
Hold on here. We have a problem there because that means that this guy would have to go into the store twice. If you want to rob something, and this seems like a very slick professional team from, you know, seem like, oh, you know, you're world-class hypnotist, you know, this theft ring. Well, hold on. You know, if you're going to rob a place, the last thing you want to do is go in there more times than you have to. You don't want to go in there multiple times. It just doesn't make sense. And from the story that I read, Mr. Aziz claimed that he'd never seen the guy before.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, hold on here. Let's just say, for example, the hypnotist had met him before briefly and said, you know, when I tap you on the shoulder, you're going to, you know, be helpless, blah, blah, blah. And furthermore, you're not going to remember that I was here. Well, why wouldn't he have just done that when he was being robbed?
Not only that, if it were possible to do that, just walk into a store, having never met the guy before, if it were possible to just walk into a store and do it instantly, wouldn't this thief or other people who acquired this talent, wouldn't they be doing it a lot more, Ben? Wouldn't we be hearing about a rash of these kind of thieves going around?
Well, keep in mind that Great Britain and England in particular has more CCTV cameras than anybody else. London and its environs are heavily surveilled by the British police,
yep.
And it's very strange that this would have been the first time that this would have been caught on camera. And the other issue here is that. And the other big red flag, again, there are several here. The other one is, as you point out, towards the end of the video, you see him tapping him on the shoulder, presumably pulling him out of his trance. Well, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Just rob this guy.
Yeah.
If you just took all his money, just leave him in this trance so he doesn't chase after you and call the cops.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah. I'm not cruel. I don't want to. I'm just a thief.
I'll take all your money, but I'll let you work yourself out of it.
Now, I saw the piece you wrote for Discovery News a couple of years ago, and in that you talked about a woman in Germany who claimed that she was hypnotized outside of a supermarket and put in a trance, and then later woke up at home having been robbed.
Yeah, that was another highly dubious story. Exactly as you point out, there's a 66-year-old woman claimed that she was outside an Aldi supermarket in Germany. And she just met two men coming out of the store, and that's the last thing she remembered. The next thing she remembered was she was in her armchair at home, and all her jewelry was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on, there's a big gap here between I saw two guys coming out of a store. Next thing I remember, I'm at home. Well, that doesn't mean you were hypnotized. I don't know what the hell happened, but of all the possibilities, you being hypnotized into forgetting that you went home, it's just absurd.
It's always that leap to something supernatural that must have happened.
Exactly.
Because I can't figure out what really happened, so I'll just go with the ridiculous explanation.
Exactly. Well, and part of it, it's actually really interesting when you sort of look at the popular notions of psychology and psychology and hypnotism, is that, as you pointed out in your setup, to a lot of people, their public perception of what is hypnosis is they're thinking stage hypnosis. They're thinking, they go to a Las Vegas show and, these funny people are pretending that they're naked and quacking like ducks.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow, this person must have incredible power over them.
Now, what's the real story there?
Well, it's interesting because there's a couple different flavors of hypnosis. I mean, there actually is a true clinical hypnosis. But it's nothing like what we allegedly saw in that video of the thief, and it's nothing like stage hypnosis. The stage hypnosis is basically where you have an entertainer who is presenting himself or herself as an authority on hypnosis. I look into my eyes, I'm the master mesmer, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And you go in there, and it's basically a comedy show. It's an act. You have a hypnotist on stage, and they'll pull out members of the audience.
And by the way, these people are there because they went to see a hypnotist show.
Right. They weren't forced there. They're not there. They're not there to see the Rockettes. They're there because they want to be entertained. And
right.
And think about this. I mean, this is the other important to keep in mind part. Who do they bring up? They bring up volunteers, people who want to be on stage.
Yep.
They got exhibitionist streak. They want to, and what happens is they give them license to be funny and silly. And so people who would otherwise, they would at least pretend to be mortified at, pretending to be naked or saying bad words or whatever on stage. Well, the hypnotist says, well, no, I just under hypnosis. I wouldn't normally do this, but yeah. Wow, if I'm hypnotized, then I'll do something crazy and silly and lewd.
In the story that I read about this, and I sent you the link to it from the London Evening Standard, they quote two magicians. One is a guy by the name of Darren Brown, who's incredibly talented and incredibly popular.
Yeah,
over there.
He's quite good.
And another guy by the name of Damien O'Brien, who I don't know at all. But in the article it says O'Brien once hypnotized, it doesn't say once claims to have hypnotized, it says he once hypnotized some of his 37,000 followers on Twitter. Now, the sum of being the operative word there, I don't know how many makes up sum of 37,000.
Two or three, maybe.
Yeah, but that would seem to be the same thing as the people who go to a hypnotist show. You're following a hypnotist, so when he says, I'm going to hypnotize you now, you go, oh, I must be hypnotized. Oh.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing to keep in mind with this is that, is, you know, the range of things that you can claim as being under the rubric of hypnosis are pretty wide. So, for example, I mean, again, I don't know what this guy, Damien O'Brien, claimed to do, but what he might have done is say, okay, I'm going to hypnotize you, you know, gullible rubes. That's the subtext.
Followers.
Yeah, followers. We'll call them followers. And maybe he sent them a picture. I don't know what it was. And he would just say, okay, well, you know, what's going to happen is half an hour after you read this, you're going to feel a slight numbness in your arm. It'll just last for a few seconds. It won't hurt, but you'll definitely feel numbness. And then if this happens to you, tweet back to me. Well, out of 37,000 people, a couple of them are going to be suggestive, like, wow, yeah, that happened to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is amazing.
Some of them had the feeling. What a surprise.
Exactly.
Now, the last thing I got to ask you about is people who, I'm sure we have listeners right now who are saying, wait a second, I went to a hypnotist to quit smoking. I went to a hypnotist to lose weight, and it worked for me. Were those people really hypnotized? And is that the clinical hypnosis you're talking about?
Yes. This is the thing: is that there is a very limited scope of treatments and problems that hypnosis can be useful. The evidence isn't rock solid, but there is some evidence, for example, that certain behavior related problems can be successfully solved through hypnosis. Here's the problem, and particularly the quitting smoking and weight loss are the two main ones that are mentioned. Interestingly enough, and relevantly enough, these are the same ones that are needed. You know, here you have to understand the idea of hypnosis. You go to a person, you say, you know, I'm trying to do this by myself. You know, I'm trying to lose weight, I'm trying to quit smoking, trying not to, you know, kick the dog, whatever. And they say, okay, well, you know, you come to me, you come to the right place, I can help you. You know, first of all, you know, let's make sure the check clears.
Yeah.
and you know, I can help you out here. And so they go through this, and yes, certainly some people that go to hypnotists and who are hypnotized will indeed be successful. The important thing to realize here is that again is a self-selecting group. They're people who, number one, believe in hypnosis.
Yep.
And number two, are strongly motivated to resolve the problem. They you know, if you don't really care about losing weight or you don't really care about quitting smoking, you don't go to the trouble of finding the hypnotist, yeah, going to the sessions, paying the money, whatever else. And so this is a self-selecting group of people who are already highly motivated. And so that by itself is frankly enough to make you quit smoking or lose weight.
You're saying there's no hypnotist who could take a 3-pack-a-day smoker and against their will make them quit smoking?
Absolutely not.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately not.
You have stubborn people, too. They don't want to admit to their friends that, yeah, it didn't work. They go, yeah, it worked for me. I quit. It's just stubbornness.
Absolutely. Ben, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining me here today.
Thanks. Good to be on. Take care.
Ben Radford is deputy editor of Skeptical Inquirer magazine and author of 7 books. And like I said, I call BS on the whole hypnotist thing. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's get a look at traffic right now. Check in with Tim Weiland.
All right, we had a report of a stall on northbound 55 at Graboy that had the left lane blocked. It looks like we're slowing on westbound 364, the Page extension from the Veterans Bridge up to 94. Also on westbound 40, the usual spot from Kings Highway through McCaws on heavy again from Ballas and Pockets all the way out to Timberlake Manor. Still looking pretty good up in North County and southbound 270, Olive down through Ladue running heavy. This report brought to you by Sam's Club for a limited time. Sam's Club members get more than $3,000 in instant savings on brands like Tyson, Pepsi, Hefty Supreme Paper Plates, and DiGiorno's Pizza. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Traffic reports when you need them. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Live and local. Depend on it.
What goes on with these families is sometimes funny, sometimes maddening, but always with a great spirit of giving and ultimately joy.
Stephen Wolf, artistic director of The Rep, discussing the classic Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
This is not a piece you put on the shelf and forget about. It brings up a whole kind of lively discussion.
A new stage adaptation of the award-winning film Guess Who's Coming to Dinner explores family and acceptance and asks which has the greater hold on our hearts.
This was groundbreaking in 1967, and it still has great resonance today.
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, playing at The Rep January 7th through February 1st.
The positive nature and the positive outcome of this piece makes it a great way to start a new year.
The Repertory Theater of St. Louis. For tickets to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, playing January 7th through February 1st, call 968-4925 or visit repstl.org.
Who's going to be the top cat? Tomorrow, after their matchup with the LSU Tigers, Coach Kim Anderson and our Missouri Tigers travel to Auburn, Alabama to take on the Auburn Tigers.
Bang! He buried it.
Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. and the tip-off at 6. It's the Tigers versus the, Tigers on the Big 550 KTRS. We are our Mizzou.
Mom was always positive, always in control, but lately she's been having difficulty caring for herself.
Whether your loved one is ready to enjoy the simple pleasures of worry-free apartment living or needs a little assistance with their day-to-day activities, the Smet Retirement Community in Florissant is the community that fits their needs and yours. Along with their full-service independent living, DeSmet Retirement Community offers assisted living. For a limited-time move-in special, call DeSmet Retirement today. Call 314-838-3811.
Your label's forever.
The Big 550.
Really?
KTRS. Like that?
Thank you.
Where St. Louis comes to talk.
Broadway Ford Truck Sales has 28 service bays for your repair needs at the same location since 1964. Stop by or give us a call at 314-241-9140 or online at BroadwayTruck.com.
Win a $50,000 cash grand prize or a share of thousands in free slot play during the Winter Wonderland Giveaway, Fridays and Saturdays in January at Hollywood Casino.
This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis. Ledoux, Glenn Carter.